Joe Tate, and I have a podcast that takes a look back at my sports broadcast career. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
I'm Bruce Van Dyke. Joe, how are you?
Good, Bruce. How are you?
Well, today we're going to talk about something that's sort of outside of the sports realm, but involves maybe your travels and, by the looks of things, something that you fondly enjoy. You are wearing a train museum cap. I don't even know if you knew that that was on your cap this morning.
Yes, I did, and it's a train museum that never was. It was the idea of a fellow over in Delphus, Ohio. He wanted to put a train museum together for the Fort Jennings in Delphus. It's the branch of what used to be the Akron, Canton, and Youngstown, which ran through Medina and then wandered all the way out into Indiana. But he evidently did not have the funds to actually make the museum go. Now the tracks are long gone, and I guess the only thing that remains, my cap.
Is your cap. And we're talking about trains because that is a passion of yours. Model trains, trains of all sizes, I guess?
That is right. I have been a railroad lover since I was old enough to go down to the depot and wait for my dad to come home on the train from Chicago. And then I used to, on occasion, get on the train, ride into Chicago, meet him at Union Station, and ride out together.
Now, was he travels on the trains, or did he work on the railroad?
No, he worked for the phone company in Chicago, Illinois. He was the first of my relatives, both my mother's side and father's side, who were not involved in railroading. So there was plenty of coal dust and oil in my veins, but my father broke away from it and got into the telephone company.
Did you get to hear stories of the early days of the rail or any of
that? Oh, yeah. In fact, I would meet members of the family. My dad knew that we had a cousin who was the fireman on the old Streeter local out of Aurora. Well, it was still steam, and he took me one night when we came in from Chicago down to the end of the platform where the Streeter local was idling and getting ready to head for Streeter, and he said, "I want you to meet your cousin." And we looked up into the cab, and there was my cousin. He was relieving himself into the coal bin. So
little secrets of the folks in the
shovel from the top of the pile, let that other stuff dry out.
Wow. So you obviously, it's in your blood, I guess, as far as...
Absolutely. I'm just, my dad used to say, he will never be hit by a train at a crossing because he sits and waits for them to show up.
Okay, now we have that in common, Joe. My father never worked on the railroad, but he was a railroad enthusiast, loved model trains, which we'll get to yours in just a little bit. But I learned at an early age to respect the trains, and he was one of those that sort of knew when certain trains would be coming through. Yep. I mean, we have our time zones and our clocks based on what the railroad kind of put into our lives, so everybody was running on schedule, and you pretty much can tell that with the railroads over time.
One of my earliest recollections was going on a Saturday morning with my sister, and my father would drive us out first to Skokie to watch the Skokie Swift go sailing by on the Chicago, Milwaukee, and North Shore electric line. Then we drive a little further west to Nile Center and watch the Hiawatha come roaring down the main from Milwaukee on the old Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Paul, and Pacific Railroad with that orange and silver and black locomotive, a streamlined steam locomotive. And that was Saturday morning ritual. Watch the Swift, watch the Hiawatha.
I never realized the power. You're in sometimes if you're in a vehicle and you're sitting and waiting, you sort of feel maybe your car rocking or whatever. But if you're along somewhere along the tracks, safe enough distance, they are powerful. You can feel the earth move, the wind move. And it's amazing these large structures, you know, the traveling on the tracks and moving America.
Well, it's something that I have not outgrown. I'm still a kid when it comes to trains, and I probably will be that way until I finally breathe my last.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your collection or your toy train, I don't know, model railroading. What do we want to refer to this as?
Well,
to be respectful.
Model railroading, yeah. My dad, he said he bought it from me, but I think he bought it for himself, a Lionel train set back when I was about 2-3 years old. And I remember we set it up in the playroom on a table, and it was there for a number of years, and the train went round and round and round and under a plastic tunnel and so on and so forth. Then when I got into high school, I packed it up, put it away. It stayed away. I gave it to my son, who had all kinds of things he's interested in, but not model railroads. So it just languished over at his place, and he was kind enough to give it back to me when I retired from the Cavaliers. And I have since put that whole layout back up and running at home. It's been a labor of love, and something I think, if I do say so myself, I did a pretty nice job of restoring it to its old days, even though it's totally out of touch with modern model railroading, because everything I've got, the buildings and everything else, are 1940 vintage.
Were they modern at the time of the?
Absolutely. Okay. Sure, Plasticville.
Sure, right, exactly. And either that or the giant crossing gates and everything else. That's one thing about Lionel trains. Not everything was to scale, but it was made probably for children, to big enough for them to hold and to see, and not sort of the details or those kind of scale model stuff, which can be very, you know, fragile.
Yeah, even Lionel now has become more cognizant of scale, and O-gauge stuff, most of what you see in their catalogs are scaled down to fit very nicely with Lionel trains.
Mm-hmm. I can still hear the hum of the transformer when I turned it on.
Yep.
And I had the kind that had the two different gears,
yes,
on either side of it, the shifts that were able to work. And we had one of ours that we had was the General, which is one of the older style locomotives.
Right.
With the cow catcher up front and sort of the steam that you can add to something like,
sure,
that.
Sure. Yeah, you put the pellet down the stack, and when the headlight light inside the locomotive warms up, why, that little pellet steams up and creates smoke.
I assume now there's, at one point you worked for a station in Wabash, right? Is that
Well, it was Terre Haute, Indiana, on the banks of the Wabash.
Of the Wabash, right, as well, which reminds me of the Wabash Cannonball. As,
yeah,
well. Do you have a favorite train song? Is that any part of
City of New Orleans, Arlo Guthrie or Willie Nelson? You know, that or The Gambler with, what's his name?
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
Yeah. Songs like that.
Well, the City of New Orleans really kind of paints that picture of that whole, written by Steve Goodman, of traveling on a train and what it feels like. And also the nostalgia and maybe a little bit of the sadness that is,
yep,
seen. Trains still move America with all their products. But nowadays, when they lost the caboose, Joe, is kind of the point where I felt the sadness. You knew the train was ended when the caboose showed up, and
yep,
at that point, when they kind of decided, because of, there was no need for the caboose anymore, it kind of changed sort of, I guess, maybe the love of the train or the way the things.
Well, railroading has changed a great deal. That's why I think now I spend more time paying attention to regional and short line operations, and also museums, because you can really lose yourself in a good museum. There is the Illinois Railway Museum at Union, Illinois, is awesome. That's, you know, close. Down at the Nickel Plate and Mad River in Bellevue, they've got a very nice setup down there. If you're into electric railroads, the Northern Ohio Electric Railway Museum off Buffum, down south towards 71. That is excellent. Those guys are doing great work. I'm involved with the Lodi Railway Museum, and they're restoring that old railroad museum in Lodi, and there are a ton of artifacts in there. I know, because a lot of them were mine.
Where did you acquire some of these artifacts? Through your family, or do you,
yeah,
were you a collector of sorts?
I was a collector because my uncle, Bill, worked on both the Illinois Central and the Northwestern, and he gave me a lot of stuff. Then I picked up a lot of things through my dad that were train-oriented, and I had a deal going with the crew of a freight train that ran out of Detroit under the Detroit River and on over to London, Ontario. And I used to trade them out tickets to the Indians, Tigers, and the Cavaliers, Pistons games. And in exchange, they would let me ride in the locomotive. They'd pick me up in the crew car, take me out to the yard. I'd climb on the locomotive with the crew. We'd go under the Detroit River and then out toward London. Then they'd have a crew car out there, pick me up, take me back to the hotel. But they gave me all kinds of memorabilia.
What do you like about that? Or tell the experience about riding in that cab and then in hearing, you know, the power behind you and seeing the world from a different perspective, I guess.
Oh, there's nothing like it. I have ridden in a number of cabs back in the old days before the Cuyahoga Valley Line became kind of a national parks operation. It was a fly-by-your-seat-of-your-pants railroad, and I used to go ride in the cab with those guys. And the Cleveland Commercial Railroad runs out of Glen Willow down into the east side of Cleveland. I've ridden with Bill Brown up in the cab of his locomotive, so... whenever I get a, although now with my legs, I can't get up into the cab.
That is quite a distance to get up there. I mean, you've got to climb some ladders and get up there and hang on tight, I guess.
That's true. Well, no, it's a great experience.
They ever put you to work in any of those?
Well, they've allowed me to run it on short bursts when I've really felt like I wanted to or that I was able to. But that is for me, that is a tenuous feeling when they say, okay, the locomotive is yours. Go ahead, take over. Right.
It's on a track, though. Where is it going to go? I mean,
yeah, it was a question of how fast is it going to go, how slow is it going to go. You know, and there are a lot of things to it that don't meet the eye. I'll tell you, you go to some of these railroad museums, especially out west, they allow you for a certain amount of money to run locomotives. At Portola, California, they got a Western Pacific Museum where you can run the locomotives. At Ely, Nevada, on the Nevada Northern, you can pay enough money and get up into the cab, run a steam locomotive, run a diesel locomotive on the actual line.
As a sports broadcaster, I don't want to use the word hobo, but you travel America and travel from town to town. For the games, were there certain cities you were anticipating or looked on the schedule? Some people look at the matchup, you're thinking, oh, there's a great train museum I can stop.
You better believe it, yes, because, for instance, Sacramento, the California State Railroad Museum, outstanding. And I went every time. Every time we were in Sacramento, I'd walk from the hotel down to the museum and spend the afternoon at the museum. In Baltimore, when we used to play the then Baltimore Bullets in Baltimore, I'd go over to the Baltimore Railroad Museum. They've got a beautiful B&O museum over there. And sometimes I'd have to rent a car and drive to a nearby museum. There's a great museum at Golden, Colorado, right across the tracks from the Coors Brewery. The Colorado State Museum is a spectacular place for old trains and memorabilia and model railroads, too.
What about mountains and trains seem to go together. Maybe not. It's tough to get the tracks through, but it seems to be a great vista that could be created by traveling. Have you ever traveled in any of those mountain railroads?
Well, I had a plan with my wife to go on what they called the Seven Rails of Colorado. We were to fly to Denver, join the tour, and travel all seven of the railroads in the mountains of Colorado. And the day before we were scheduled to leave, 9/11 occurred. And of course, they cleared the skies because of it. And we never were able to make the trip. And I've often regretted that. Now what I'm doing, because of my limited mobility, I found that on YouTube, you can travel all over. I just finished.
Wait a minute here. Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. Joe Tate is involved with some technology.
Thanks to my daughter. She wired it up so I could do it.
See what happens? You have a passion for something and you realize there's something in there that I can see. So now what? They have different vantage points of these.
I have traveled every railroad in New Zealand. And they're all there as segment by segment, and I've done them all. I do it while I'm on my bicycle, my little stationary bicycle, pedaling my you-know-what,
right.
while I watch train videos.
Wow. We're talking to Joe Tate today on Over the Timeline, looking back at his sports broadcast career, as they say, but he's spent a lot of times in railroad museums during those off days or in between broadcasts. We'll have more coming up.
Hi, I'm Joe Tate, here to tell you about Hometown Dental in Seville. They're my dentist, and they want to be your dentist for life. Hometown Dental offers same-day and evening hours to fit your schedule. And in emergencies like a broken tooth, they can always fit you in. All PPO insurance is accepted, and new patients are welcome. Call Hometown Dental on Center Street in Seville, or online, visit hometowndentalseville.com. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
Back with Joe Tate on Over the Timeline, talking about his love of trains and model railroading. You mentioned now that you've kind of had this model railroad setup.
Yep.
How big is this? Are we talking about in what part of your home has now been taken over by a train?
The unfortunately, my wife is confined to a nursing home, so she does not know that I did what I did, but I turned the dining room and the living room into railroads. I've got four tables that have model railroads running on them, two tables together for the O gauge that I was telling you about before, and on the other side, the two tables, one of which I use as my work table, and the other one I am dabbling in HO, but unfortunately, my arthritic stubby fingers are a challenge as far as HO is concerned, so I'm just kind of feeling my way through that. And then the dining room table is an HO layout that I've already put together.
Is everything working well, or do you still have spots where you're still trying to fix the track or make sure that everybody can go at the right speed around the bend?
There's always something goes amiss, especially when you're using stuff that's, you know, from 1940. We're talking a long time ago, so I have to take time to get things right. Replaced, refurbished. There's a place near Oberlin called Stockyard Express, and they've got tremendous material out there to purchase, and they also have some fellows that can repair and refurbish O-gauge locomotives and cars. So I avail myself of their services.
You are of a certain age where model railroading seemed to have blossomed with not only sort of the love of the nostalgia of the trains, where we were transitioning from train travel, because now we're just limited really to Amtrak and we're trying to travel on trains for the most part. Unless you go to those other countries, I guess they have probably maybe a flourishing train. But do you still see younger people getting involved in this, or what advice would you say?
It's amazing. Some of the, although I would guess that if you added up the ages, probably older guys and gals are more likely to be involved in model railroads than some of the young ones, but I'm sure there are a lot of young ones as well. But some of the layouts that I see, again, on YouTube are fantastic. The work that they do to create the different layouts and the different settings are fantastic. It's just amazing to sit there and see what they have accomplished.
So do you prefer sort of the rugged rural look, or do you go for sort of cityscapes? What do you like most?
Well, half of my layout, now this sounds a little Twilight Zone-ish.
So there's no zoning laws in your town.
That's true.
Okay.
I've got two big tables. On one side, I've got Plasticville, which is all of the stuff that came with the train in 1940, all the Plasticville houses and cars, and they're all there on one side. Then between the two tables, I put a drainage ditch that kind of separates Plasticville from an 1880s type setup, which is covered in snow. I made that a winter scene.
Okay.
With a lot of old Victorian style buildings, and I have an old trolley that I found that runs the length of that table in the Victorian village. So you get something new which really isn't new, and something that's really old. And then the train runs, the Lion-L train runs around the perimeter of the whole thing.
Now, do you know what new technology might be coming out in trains? Do you see things? I'm sure that sort of things are more digital, or there's more microchips or things, you know, the sounds that they can create. Has that worked its way a lot into model railroading?
Yes, yes, and not at my house. No, I'm old school, but yeah, some of the stuff they do is amazing with the electronics, with the internet, with the computers. I mean, there are computerized model railroads today that run just like real railroads. They have
so they'll have the switches changed.
Oh yeah, timetables and everything else, and orders, and they have yard crews and they have road crews. And these guys get together and they run it just like they were in the business of railroading.
At one point in my childhood, my father, as I mentioned earlier, is involved in trains, model railroading as well. We went to somebody's farm and they had one of those. I don't know what scale it was. Basically, it's a train that I could sit in, and they would have a guy sort of straddling what would be the engine, driving through his farmland.
They have a setup out at Lester, Ohio, which is about 5 miles from where I live, where they have steam locomotives and diesels. They run them, and they are these live steamers that periodically, they have notices in the paper that they're going to have a weekend where they run those trains and kids can ride. And yeah, and the fellow that runs the locomotive just sits on the tender and runs the whole thing.
It's fascinating to see that. You mentioned how you've had sort of, do you have other decorations around your home, memorabilia, like any kind of breaking lanterns or
yes,
any type of things like that?
Yes, to all of the above. Yes, I have. Cases full of memorabilia, and a lot of it I've sent down to the Lodi Railway Museum, which is really becoming a very interesting place to visit. They're open, I think, on the fourth Sunday of every month from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. It's worth a visit.
How many railroad spikes do you have hanging around? Any?
I've only got a couple. I know there's one on top of my dresser, and then a couple in the den up on one of the bookshelves.
So there's a lot of railroading at the Joe Tate household, then, as far as...
Everywhere you look, yes.
Wow, that's great. A favorite place to visit that you've gone to, museums, or a place that you'd like to get back to or just to see? And I guess mainly because of what they have, they tell the history of that town, that railroad, as well as probably have displays of model railroads and things like that?
Well, you can even go to Greenfield Village up there in the Detroit area and ride the train up there. I go out to Cedar Point. The only ride I've ever taken at Cedar Point is the train, and I get on it, and I ride, and I ride, and I ride because I enjoy it. But, I can't get to the places I used to be able to get to because I don't travel, obviously. So I stick pretty close to home, and Bellevue is a good place to go. They're close. The Northern Ohio Electric Railway Museum, that's certainly within range of where I live, and the Lodi Railway Museum is also something that I'm still vitally interested in.
So when you get to a train crossing, you slow down to see if there's a train coming. You'll stop and wait. Do you count the cars?
I have.
Do you count the cars?
Yes. Yes, in fact, just the other day up there in Olmsted Falls, I got stopped by a Norfolk Southern freight and counted up 170 cars that were moving at about 25 miles an hour. So I had plenty of time to count.
Count and see all the interesting artwork that's applied to the...
That's another story in itself.
Right, exactly. But it's amazing still... Trains are out there. They've kind of changed, but there's still a lot of people that enjoy talking trains, and we appreciate your time this morning, Joe. Thank you.
Hey, Bruce, good talking to you. Thank you.
It's been Over the Timeline with Joe Tate. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.